So what I want to do today is I want to talk about prayer. And maybe if we have enough time at the end, we'll see how this goes. Well, we'll get into some of the practicals. But my main goal of this time is to inspire you, to motivate you, to want to pray. Prayer is not, well, it takes a lifetime to master it. Even then, you don't master it. Fundamentally, it's very simple, right? When I give a lot of talks to teenagers, and I always ask the question, somebody give me a definition of prayer. Okay, what's it? Talking to God, right? A fifth grader can understand that. That's all it is. I mean, the concept's pretty simple. It's all about communication with God. But what I find as a priest working with people of all different walks of life, levels of faith, the challenge with prayer becomes the willingness to do it and to make time for it, to see it as a priority. So again, my main goal of this presentation is to hopefully inspire you through the words of the scriptures, the catechism, and the teachings of the saints, the words of the saints, of how important prayer is, so that you'd be motivated to actually do it. So, if you didn't get a little handout, there's a little handout on those two chairs as you walked in. Feel free to go grab one if you didn't. Here, these are Father Park's top 15 favorite quotes about prayer. We're just going to walk through them, and I'm going to make some comments on them as we go. Number one, St. John Paul II. The greatest deception and the deepest source of unhappiness is the illusion of finding life by excluding God. Now, I love this quote. While it's not a quote specifically about prayer, it gets to what the heart of prayer is all about. This was a quote that John Paul II said. It's from a homily in 2002 in his homily at the Papal Mass at World Youth Day in Toronto. So he's speaking to 800,000 people, and he says to them, the greatest deception and the deepest source of unhappiness is the illusion of finding life by excluding God. This is the constant temptation of the evil one, that you can be happy in this life without God. It's an illusion, John Paul II said. The greatest deception, that you can find life apart from him. You can find true joy apart from him. It's not possible. Only the one who created your heart, he's the only one that can satisfy the deepest desires of it. So, that's why I pray. Because I realize it's a lie, it's a deception to believe that I can be happy without a life of prayer. Without a life of intimacy with God. Number two, from the Catechism. This is from, real quick, so a lot of you know this probably, the Catechism is divided into four sections. Part one is all about, it breaks down the creed, what do we believe? Part two is all about the sacraments, how do we worship? Part three is all about the moral life, how do we live our lives in Christ? And part four is all about prayer. What do we believe? How do we worship? How do I live my life? And then how do I pray? Because prayer is so important. So, a lot of these quotes from the Catechism come from that fourth section on prayer. The Catechism says this, great is the mystery of the faith. The Church professes this mystery in the Apostles' Creed and celebrates it in the sacramental liturgy, so that the life of the faithful may be conformed to Christ in the Holy Spirit to the glory of God the Father. This mystery, then, requires that the faithful believe in it, that they celebrate it, and that they live from it in a vital and personal relationship with the living and true God. This relationship is prayer. We talk a lot of times about our relationship with God. The Catechism says that our relationship with God is prayer. That's what it is. I can't have a relationship with God if I don't pray. It's no different than our human relationships. I'm guessing a lot of you guys are married. I hope you talk to your wives occasionally. Or hopefully maybe you listen to your wives occasionally. Right? Communication. I mean, even I do this with my couples in marriage prep. Communication, 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 communication. It's all about communication, because if you don't communicate, you're not going to have a relationship. We know this in our earthly experience. The same is true in my relationship with God. Because my relationship with God is prayer, is what the Catechism is telling us. Number three, Prayer is, from the Catechism again, prayer is a vital necessity. Prayer and the Christian life are inseparable. Prayer is a vital necessity. Vital comes from the Latin word vitae, which means life, right? It's a vital necessity. When I hear the word vital, I think about, you know, vital signs. I remember this one time when I was a deacon, my last year of seminary. I was serving down in Faribault at Divine Mercy Catholic Church that summer with the priest down there, Father Kevin Finnegan, who was the pastor at the time there. And I'm in the rectory, I'm asleep, it's the middle of the night, I'm having this nice dream, who knows what I'm dreaming about. All of a sudden, I remember being violently woken up. I just like flung out of bed, and to the fact that I couldn't breathe. And I was like, I couldn't breathe. What happened was having like a really bad acid reflux. It had like gone all the way up and like come down into my air windpipe, whatever. And it was screwing everything up. And literally my diaphragm was spasming or something. I couldn't breathe. I mean, I was trying to breathe, and I'm like, and so I'm pretty scared at this moment. Like, I've never had this happen to me before. So I kind of stumble out of bed, and I'm like walking down the hall of the rectory to Father Kevin's room, because I'm about to bang on his door saying, give me absolution, I'm about to die. And, you know, I wake him up, and then we go into his bathroom, and I'm kind of leaning over on the sink, and then finally I was able to, like, cough a little, and then cough a little more, and cough a little more, and then eventually I started breathing again, clearly. But it lasted about 30, 40 seconds, I'd say, from the moment I woke up for the moment. So but those are some of the 30 scariest seconds of my life, because I couldn't breathe. Prayer is a vital necessity. Breathing is a vital necessity. If I don't breathe, I'm going to die. Pretty simple. If I don't pray, I'm going to die spiritually. It also says, the other quote says, prayer and the Christian life are inseparable. Inseparable. To call myself a Christian and not pray, a Christian who doesn't pray is an oxymoron. Like, what? How can that be? How can I be a Christian and not pray? The two are inseparable. Number four. Classic definition of prayer from the Catechism. Prayer is the raising of one's mind and heart to God, or the requesting of good things from God. Prayer is the raising of one's mind and heart to God, or the requesting of good things from God. When I think a lot of people think about prayer, they think about the second part of the definition. That prayer is about requesting good things from God. We think about prayer, we think it's all about asking, right? God, give me this, help me here, finances, family, sickness, struggles, difficulties, whatever. Lord, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. Asking God for the things we need. Now that's a really important part of prayer. Monsignor was talking about that some, like with the whole, what's the magic wand, you know? If you could wave a magic wand over one area of your life and God would change it, like that's where Jesus wants to meet you in prayer. And so that's good. We want to ask God for the things we need. He wants us to. Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you'll find. But that's just the second half of the definition. The first part, prayer is the raising of one's mind and heart to God. Again, fundamentally, what is prayer about? It's about lifting up my heart, uniting my life with Him. It's about intimacy. It's about friendship. That's why we say at Mass, at the beginning of the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Lift up your hearts. Lift them up. Unite them to the Father. That's what prayer is all about. Raising one's mind and heart to God. Yeah. Next. Number five. St. John Eudes. The air which we breathe, the bread which we eat, the heart which throbs in our bosoms are not more necessary for man that he may live as a human being than is prayer for the Christian that he may live as a Christian. Again, that similar mindset, right? I need my heart to live. I need to pump blood through my body. I need bread for nutrition. I need air. All these things are absolutely necessary for my physical life. The same is true with prayer for my spiritual life. If I don't pray, I will die spiritually. It takes faith to believe this. But I think if we know deep down inside, if I'm not praying, if I'm not seeking the Lord, my life starts to fall apart, if I'm honest with myself. Absolutely necessary. Number 6, from Blaise Pascal, is a philosopher. The sole cause of man's unhappiness is his inability to stay quiet in his room. I really like this quote. Because, this was written, 1500s Pascal, 1600s, I can't remember, somewhere around there, like 500 years ago. Imagine, that was from 500 years ago. Man's inability to stay silent in his room. How much now more in our modern age when there's so many distractions? So many things to keep us busy. So much noise. Why is it hard for us to be silent? Every year as a priest, I do a week-long silent retreat. And I remember the first time I did a silent retreat when I was a seminarian, it was incredibly hard. It was so hard. Well, first of all, sometimes people say like, oh, you get to go on a silent retreat every year. Father, you're so lucky. I'm like, yes, I am very blessed, right? But sometimes it's really hard. Retreats are not vacation. It can be very challenging to be quiet for a whole week. Why is that? Because you see, when I'm quiet, all of a sudden, things in the depths of my soul that I sometimes try to drown out with noise and busyness, they start bubbling up. Things that I don't want to think about, but God wants me to think about and bring to Him. But I'm like, no, I'll go back down. Classic example, right? You think about the 25-year-old guy. Maybe he's fallen away Catholic, doesn't live the faith, living a sinful life, starts dating this girl. They live a very unchaste relationship. He thinks maybe he'll marry her, but then she dumps him after 2 years of dating. And his world is just crushed. And so he goes, he's at the bar, he's just sitting at the bar by himself, having a couple beers. And in the silence of his heart, he realizes, I'm not happy with my life. That's actually the voice of God speaking. And this then becomes the great moment of choice. Do I stay there? Do I stay with God in the silence, in the pain? Or do I have another beer? No, not going there. Distraction. Go back to the surface. Don't want to go deep, surface. Because the depths can be hard. But prayer is difficult. Real men go in. Wimps stay on the surface and lead a life of distraction. The spiritual life is hard. It takes courage to go in. It's easy to just play video games, watch sports, watch movies, do your hobbies, whatever they be, hunting, fishing, cars, whatever. That's all fine stuff, right? But to go in, that's the life of prayer. To be quiet in my room. And that's where I find true joy and true happiness. Because that's where I meet the Holy Spirit in the depth of my heart. Number 7, St. Teresa. If you want to stop sinning, commit yourself to never stop praying. I use this quote a lot in the confessional, especially when I'm working with people who struggle with habitual sin. If you want to stop sinning, commit yourself to never stop praying. We're going to have a little talk this afternoon about the problems and the challenges of pornography. And that's a common, these days, a common habitual sin, especially for guys. And I encourage guys how important daily prayer is in the battle for purity. And I especially encourage the rosary. The rosary is so powerful. I encourage guys, pick up those beads and pray them every single day. If you commit to praying a daily rosary every single day, over the course of time, one of two things will happen. You'll either stop sinning or you'll stop praying. Because the two cannot coexist forever. Now, maybe even a couple of years, maybe. Sometimes sin is so deeply rooted in us, it takes a long time to get the weeds out. But a daily rosary is so powerful to overcome any habitual sin, along with everything else, right? Sunday Mass, frequent confession, a life of service, generosity, etc. Number 8, St. Alphonsus Liguori, a doctor of the Church. Those who pray are certainly saved. Those who do not pray are certainly damned. I like this quote. It's pretty straightforward. It's from the Catechism. The Catechism quotes St. Benedict too. I mean, that's what it really comes down to, that, right? If you don't pray, you will go to hell. I mean, it's really that simple. It seems kind of harsh. No, it doesn't. Why would you want to go to heaven if you never pray? What do you think heaven is? Oh, it's a place where I play golf every single day. No, it's not. Don't say that in a eulogy or I will punch you in the face. Heaven is all about intimacy with God and one another. It's about intimacy. It's about being in perfect union with my Creator and my brothers and sisters in Christ forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. It's about worship. It's about prayer. If you don't like prayer now, you're going to be bored in heaven. You're thinking this is stupid. That's why we pray now, to begin to start to have the taste for heaven, the desire for it, the longing for it. Number 9, the glorious duty of man to pray and to love. I often think that when we come to adore the Lord, we would receive everything we ask for if we would ask with living faith and with a pure heart. John Vianney. The glorious duty of man to pray and to love. Only we can pray and only we can love, of all God's creatures here on earth. A squirrel can't pray. A tree can't love. The great gift that we have as human beings is that I can pray and I can love. This is my great duty as a rational creature, as a child of God. I can pray and I can love. I can be like God in that sense. I often think that when we come to adore the Lord, we would receive everything we ask for, everything we ask for, if we would ask with living faith and with a pure heart. I have a list of prayer intentions on a sheet of paper that I keep in my breviary, and I pray through these intentions every day for myself, for my family, for my parish, the church, and all other kind of things, right? And at the top of that list, I have this quote. John Vianney reminding me, I often think when we come to adore the Lord, we would receive everything we ask for if we would ask with living faith and with a pure heart. Lord, give me that living faith. Give me that pure heart when I come to you in prayer. So all these things that I'm praying for. It's an encouragement. It is to me, at least. Number 10. Oh, I should change this. St. Teresa of Calcutta now. Not blessed anymore. Mother Teresa. Prayer makes your heart bigger until it is capable of holding the gift of God Himself. Prayer makes your heart bigger. When I think about this quote, I think about the Grinch. Right? The Grinch whose heart expanded 3 times. That's what prayer does to us. It stretches the heart. St. Ignatius of Loyola, the founder of the Jesuits, he was also the creator of the spiritual exercises, this 30-day silent retreat that all Jesuits go on, and a lot of their laymen and women and priests and religious do it as well too. But all Jesuits have to do it. 30-day silent retreat, and it's called the spiritual exercises. What happens when you exercise? Sometimes it hurts, right? Your muscles are a little sore. But if you start working out a little bit, all of a sudden, you know, your chest gets a little bigger, your arms get a little bigger, your legs get a little bigger. The muscles grow. The same thing is true with our heart, our spiritual heart. As I grow, my heart, as I pray, more and more I pray, my heart grows. It expands. So I'm able to receive more and more and more of the goodness of God. I like how Monsignor was talking this morning about God can't be any more good to me than he is right now. God can't be more gooder, right? God can't love me anymore. It's not that, that would assume that he's holding something back. No, all I can do is receive more and more. I'm the one who changes. God doesn't change, I change. And the more I pray, my heart stretches and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger so I can receive more and more and more of his love for me, which is unchanging and constant. Number 11. The more you pray, the more you want to pray. It's like a fish that starts by swimming near the surface of the water, then plunges and goes on swimming deeper and deeper. The soul plunges, is swallowed up, loses itself in the delights of conversation with God. St. John Vianney. The more you pray, the more you will want to pray. This is so true. When I was just really... My whole background is a whole long story, but I really started getting active in my faith when I was 18, when I was a freshman in college. And those early years, prayer was, guess what, really hard. It was hard at times. And I remember I joined a Christian fraternity where I went to school at Texas A&M, and every year we had this big evangelistic event on campus. It was a Christian concert. We had Christian speakers. We'd have thousands of students come to this concert on campus, and we're hoping this would be a great evangelistic event. And so in preparation for this big concert, we'd always do some fasting and prayer. And so the week before, we'd all sign up for an hour of prayer. So we'd be praying around the clock for this big event. And I remember that my first year in the fraternity, I signed up for my hour of prayer. And it came time, whatever, 2 o'clock in the afternoon maybe it was or something, and I look at my watch, 2 o'clock, it's time for my hour of prayer. So, you know, I'm praying, I'm reading the Bible or something, or I don't remember what I was doing. And I'm like, all right, it's probably been, in my mind, I'm like, it's got to have been at least 35 minutes or something. 6 minutes! I have 54 minutes to go. Like, oh. I mean, it was really hard for me because I hadn't been working out, right? So, I mean, it's like getting on a bench and putting 250 up. If you're never like, oh, I can barely lift 100, you know, I mean, it's going to be really hard. But guess so. But I persevered. I got through that hour. Said I'm never signing up for that again. But I kept praying, and I kept praying, and I kept praying, and I kept praying, and I kept praying. And now, years later, I do an hour of adoration every single day. Is it because I'm this like super holy person? No. God stretched my heart. The more you pray, the more you will want to pray. John Vianney tells us. You begin to have a taste for it. And you want more and more and more. Number 12, on the back. From Blessed John Henry Newman. What I like about this quote is that the quote itself is a prayer. A prayer I pray often. He said, Lord, teach me to love prayer. Teach me to love what will occupy my mind for all eternity. It's a great prayer. Asking, being honest, Lord, teach me to love prayer. Because sometimes it's hard to love prayer. But Lord, teach me to love prayer. Teach me to love what will occupy my mind for all eternity. Again, for those who don't pray, why would you even want to go to heaven? Because this is what I'm going to be doing forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. But those who come to love prayer desire more and more and more and more. Lord, teach me to love prayer. Boy, I pray that prayer all the time. Lord, teach me to love prayer. Number 13, St. Paul, 1 Thessalonians. St. Paul says, never cease praying. Never cease praying. The Word of God. God commands us, never cease praying. How is that possible, Lord? Never cease praying? That's impossible, right? I'm the pastor of Annunciation Catholic Church, and I love the story of the Annunciation, where the angel Gabriel says to Mary, all things are possible with God. Nothing will be impossible for God. Can I pray without ceasing? Yes, it is possible, because all things are possible with God. How do I do that concretely? The catechism, when it speaks about this passage, it says that we cannot pray at all times unless we first pray at specific times, consciously willing it. So how do I begin to pray at all times? I first, by having concrete times of prayer every day in my life. Sometimes people will say, you know, my whole day is a prayer. You know, I just, my whole day when I do dishes or I'm going at work, like, it's all a prayer. But I never take time to concretely pray. Well, that's not good. Okay? We can't begin to pray at all times unless I'm praying at specific times, consciously willing it, doing nothing else but praying. Once I have a good habit of daily prayer, then that can actually really help me have that, what we call in the spiritual tradition, the practicing the presence of God, so that I can be praying at all times. St. Augustine, when he's speaking about this passage, about this idea of how can I pray at all times, he talks about, I pray at all times through my desire. It's by my desire for Jesus, my desire for God. That is prayer. And that's pleasing to him. The desire for God itself is an act of prayer. That the idea is that's constantly in my heart. My love for Jesus, my desire for him, never cease praying. Number 14. From the Catechism. We must remember God more often than we draw breath. We must remember God more often than we draw breath. I've taken this quote and I've turned it into a prayer that I pray every single day when I say, Lord, help me to remember you more often than I draw breath. Again, that constant, that God is always on my mind. That's what we do when we do the gospel. We put the sign of the cross in our mind, our lips, and our heart. Lord, may the gospel always be on my mind, my lips, and my heart. May I always desire you. May I always desire to seek you. Help me never to forget you. Why do I sin at times? It's because I forget. I forget who I am, who I've been created to be, who I've been redeemed to be. I forget. That's why, don't forget. Remember. Remember God more often than I draw breath. That God is with me, that God loves me. He created me, he redeemed me, he's sanctifying me, and he's preparing a place in heaven for me. Last one. Number 15. He who humbles himself will be exalted. Humility is the foundation of prayer. Only when we humbly acknowledge that we do not know how to pray as we ought, are we ready to receive freely the gift of prayer. Man is a beggar before God. Humility is the foundation of prayer. You can't pray unless you're humble. The fundamental disposition of the heart of prayer is the disposition that says, you are God and I am not, and I need you. That's a place of humility. That's a place of weakness. But to recognize, God, I can't do it on my own strength. I come before you in prayer and say, I am a beggar before you. What a beautiful image. I'm a beggar before God. Everything I have comes from him. What's one thing you have that didn't come from God? It all comes from him. Well, all my money, my position, all that stuff. I worked hard for that stuff. I'm sure you did. Who gave you the desire to work hard? Who gave you the gifts to be able to work hard? Man is a beggar before God. That's why I pray. Because fundamentally, I need him. I can't do it on my own strength. And that's a position of humility. Only the humble heart can say that. And this is why God can only work in the humble heart. The proud heart, God can do nothing with. The heart of stone is the image from the Bible. The hardened heart, God can't do anything with. Because the proud heart says, I can do it on my own. The humble heart says, nope, I've tried that, it doesn't work. I'm a beggar before him. Okay, we got a few minutes left. I want to do this. I want to open up for questions. I like Q&A. I think that's a great way to learn by asking questions. I have a few more things I can talk about, but anything about prayer, yeah.
can I sometimes say a prayer to God that says, God, I don't really know what I want, can you just satisfy my will or your will in me?
Yes. God, can I pray, God, I don't know what I want, will you just do your... Yes, that's a great prayer. Sometimes we don't even know our own desires, right? Lord, I don't know what I want, I don't know what I need. Lord, show me. That's a great prayer. Absolutely. Questions up? Yes.
When I pray and stuff, a lot of times it seems like it's just a want list and what have you, and some thank you and stuff, where other people and stuff, and you just say these prayers and stuff just from the mind and stuff, and that's one gift I wish I would have and stuff, rather than making it more than just asking for this, asking for that.
Yeah, he's talking about sometimes prayer is all just a list of just asking for things, right? And again, that's an important part of prayer. But it's not the only part of prayer. If all I'm doing in my prayer is just going through my checklist of needs, then this is where, okay, maybe I need to spend a little more time in just reading the scriptures and just being silent and listening to God. Remember, communication is a two-way street, right? If we only spend time talk, again, that's good, that's important, but this is where silence, right? Man's unhappiness is because he can't be silent, just be quiet with God, and that's hard. There are times, and even, we're all beginners when it comes to prayer. We're all beginners. I mean, every time I go on a retreat, I feel like when I'm in times of just silence, I'm like, what am I doing? I don't know how to pray. I feel it all the time because I'm a beginner. It's hard, but that silence is so huge. Other thoughts, comments, questions, struggles with prayer? Yeah.
Distraction. What do you have?
That was on my notes. Good. I want to bring that up. Distractions. One of the most common challenges in prayer is distractions. Lord, you know, here I am meditating on the cross and the crucifixion. And Jesus, there he is in my mind. He's hanging on the cross. He's pouring out his blood for me. Man, the Twins pitching staff is terrible. I mean, we all experience distractions, right? I mean, this is a normal part. It's just how the human mind works, okay? What am I going to have for dinner tonight? I'm hungry. Oh, what am I going to say to this person at work? We all experience distractions in prayer, okay? Distractions are actually a great opportunity to grow in holiness, because distractions provide you with a concrete opportunity to make a choice, to exercise your freedom, to exercise your humanity. We have this gift of freedom as human beings. So when I realize I'm thinking about the cross, now I'm thinking about, you know, spring training, and I got some tickets I need to get purchased. But the second I realize, oh, I'm distracted, now comes the moment of choice. Do I stay with the distraction, or do I go back to Jesus? Do I stay, or do I go back? And hopefully, I go, sorry, Lord. Back to the meditation. Back to the silence. Back to focus on you. Oh, I'm hungry. What am I going to have for dinner? Oh, back to you. If you spend 30 minutes of prayer constantly distracted, but constantly going back to Jesus, back to Jesus, back to Jesus, that's fantastic prayer. That's wonderful prayer, because you're constantly choosing Jesus over the things of this world. Does that make sense? So we all experience them. They're challenging, but they provide an opportunity to concretely grow in holiness. Yeah?
How do you differentiate between the voice of God and your own?
How do you differentiate between the voice of God and your own? Does anybody want to get up here and give the answer to that question? This is what the spiritual life is all about, right? I mean, this takes years to discern this. To discern, is this me speaking, or is this God speaking, right? So that's where, I always say this, where the Bible is so helpful to study the Bible and the teachings of the church, because we always want to, anything that I think might be God speaking to me, we always want to compare it to the objective revelation of God, right? So is this in line with what the Bible teaches, what the church teaches? You know, like, this is when, you know, someone's like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of an example. A friend comes to me and says, hey, I want you to invest in this immoral company with me or something. oh, maybe that's God speaking to me through my friend. No, that's not God speaking to you. God would never have you invest in an immoral company, okay? So that goes against, so we always want to check it against the objective teachings of the church, the objective teachings of the scriptures. So that's check one, right? But then we get to the case of, well, what if it's a choice between two goods, you know? Is God calling me to go to this college or to this college? Does God want me to take this job or this job? And they're both not immoral, all fine, all things being equal. That takes time, right? This is where spiritual friends are really important. To have a spiritual director, other good Christian friends where I can come and say, and I can process with this through them. Spiritual direction, spiritual friends, comparing it to the objective teachings of the church. I mean, those are some of the kind of key things. But otherwise, that's like, whew, you find the answer to that question, write a book, and you'll make millions and millions of dollars. Well, there always been a book. It's called the Scriptures, right? This is where we trust in God, that God's going to lead me, etc. I saw another in the back. Yeah.
Can I make a comment?
Sure, comments are good. Complaints are fine, too.
Practical advice, because someone mentioned here distractions, you know, and you see, one practice what I read about is like create sort of prayer corner at home. So you designate area where you're actually going to pray, and you know, it sounds like, oh my gosh, what I'm going to do, you know, and it's like it took me weeks to think about it, but not joking. The point is that, you know, I took a chair, you know, it was my bed, then it was in my wife's chair, we sat down, and he was a prayer book, you know what I'm saying, and that became our prayer corner.
Yeah.
So that became no investments here, you know, and we started praying in this particular place, rosary, daily prayer, morning prayer, night prayer, whatever, and then this graduated after 2 years of prayer like this, that I invested in a healer, you know, make a nice small kind of, you know, altar statue, you know, whatever, two candles, you know, so you actually start designating the place in your house where you can actually pray.
Right.
And it's sort of like your own home chapel, you know, it actually focuses you on a prayer.
Yeah.
And, you know, we are Catholics, but actually in some way we forgot about this, because that kind of designating of the prayer corner is very, you know, present in different cultures. You know, Hindu will have their own, you know, Muslims will pray on a blanket, you know, and we as a Catholics, you know, have our churches and chapels officially, but actually in a home we could actually create prayer corners, not necessarily rooms. You know, we have a bedrooms, bathrooms, you know, living rooms and TV rooms and whatever. Where's your chapel?
No, that's a great thing. That's actually very Catholic. That's a great thing. That's why we build churches and chapels, right? I'm going to take my prayer time today at Nicolet Mall. Good luck, right? You're going to be incredibly distracted. No, I'm going to go to the Basilica and pray. Whoa, beautiful, high ceilings. Your mind, you automatically look up. I mean, that's why we have architecture and the beauty of the churches is to help us to be focused, because we know it's so easy to be distracted. Yeah, great. If I don't have a spot in my house for prayer, like my chair, my little area, that's a great way to establish where am I going to pray every single day. Yeah.
This is a great segue. Like, I'm wondering, for someone getting started, what are the characteristics? Like, how should you dedicate that time? Like, what are some best practices on setting aside that time and the place and whatnot?
How do I begin, right? If I want to take some time for daily prayer, if I've hopefully motivated you to do it, or the saints have, I should say, then it begins really simple, right? Practicals. Find a time. Look at your schedule, look at your calendar, what works for best for me, my family, my wife, etc. Where I can have, and again, baby steps. Don't start with an hour of prayer every day. That's, you're trying to lift 250 pounds, you know. No, start with just reps at just 50, you know, warm up on the bar, right? Start with just 5-10 minutes, right? To be silent, to read the gospel for the day, do some intentions, say in Our Father, Hail Mary, Glory Be, and go on your merry way. That takes 10 minutes right there. Meditate on the scriptures, say some intentions, do some traditional prayers, off you go. You spend 10 minutes. Find the time, find the space. That's a kind of consecrate that space in your home, that this is where I encounter God every day. And then say, Jesus, give me the grace to be faithful. Give me the grace to be faithful. And then that's a good thing to bring to confession too. When I'm not faithful, it's like, gosh, this last month I missed my daily prayer like 5 or 6 times. You want to bring that to the confessional, because that's a sin. To not speak to God to go a whole day without speaking to God, that's saying, God, I don't want you in my life today. How is that not a sin? That's what sin is. It's turning my back on God. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Music. Music is great for prayer, right? We have this huge tradition of music. As Christians, we have a 2,000-year tradition of music. What we talk about in the Catechism talks about vocal prayer, and I would put music into that kind of category of vocal prayer. It helps orient the heart. I often start prayer with music all the time, too. Some of you maybe like more traditional kind of hymns, Gregorian chant, great. Maybe some of you like more contemporary Christian music. I like it all, right? To just start my prayer time and put my earbuds in, and I'm going to listen to a song for 3 or 4 minutes to kind of center myself, my heart, to focus on Jesus, great, great way to start your prayer. We don't want to make that the only thing I do for prayer. I'd say that's more of the kind of the, it helps orientate us to be silent, to be quiet, and to focus on Jesus. That's where music's a great gift. It has the ability to open the heart to allow Jesus to come in. I love music. Music is a huge part of my spiritual life. Okay, we got a few more minutes. Yeah.
Meditate on the scriptures, do you mean like Lectio Divina?
Right, so when he says, meditate on scriptures, what does that mean? Do you mean like Lectio Divina? Yeah, right. Meditating on scriptures is really quite simple, right? The gospels are the best things to do because there's so much happening in the gospels. The easiest way I can explain meditation is that when you meditate on the scriptures, think of yourself like a movie director. Okay, think like imagine you're directing a movie, and so set the stage in your mind. What does the foreground look like? What does the background look like? What do the characters look like? What are they wearing? What does Jesus' face look like when he says to the woman at the well, whatever he says, right? You know, I mean, just imagine your mind. That's how you meditate. And then things begin to stand out to you. Like, gosh, that phrase when Jesus says to the woman caught in the act of adultery, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. I see Jesus saying that, and I realize, guess what? He's saying it to me. That's, you know, 60-second answer on how to meditate. Yeah?
Can you just define a couple of different forms of prayer versus others?
There is as many ways of prayer as there are human beings, right? We all have our different ways because all of our relationships with God are incredibly unique and personal, right? And so in terms of bodily posture, if you want to pray on your knees, great. If you want to pray sitting in a chair, great. I probably wouldn't recommend praying lying down in your bed. That usually doesn't work too well because next thing you know, you fall asleep, right? So there's all bodily postures, but I mean, the church is filled with, this is what her whole spiritual tradition is about, of the many, 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 many different ways to pray. I don't know if I'm answering your question. Yeah. I like to stand and pray. I like to sit, you know, there's all the... Right? Yeah. Whatever's going to help you. Again, the goal is not it's not about the mechanics, right? It's about what helps me grow in intimacy with God. That just like every single one of you are married, your marriages look different from any other marriage. Because you know what is for you and your spouse, your wife. The same thing is true with me and God. Yeah. Last one.
I agree with the comment on the spot of having the spot to pray, and I think the intention to pray is good, but one of the things that I found in order to help develop that intention and deal with the distraction, I say, okay, what am I going to do? 4 things today. I've got to eat, I'm going to pray. So to affirmatively declare, this is my distraction time, because I then declaring that's distraction time, but this is prayer time, so that you actually think through, I'm going to have a distraction, but that's when I'm going to deal with that distraction, so that you declare your day, what are you going to happen in the day, each day.
Yeah.
Only a few, 4 things. I'll pray, I'll read, I'll eat, I'll exercise, just those couple things, and I find that if I declare those other things, as well as my prayer, it helps me maintain the declaration of prayer.
Awesome. That's great. What helps me too in prayer, I always have a little pad to write down things. And so if something comes to mind that could be a distraction, I just write it down and move on. Let's say a little prayer here to conclude, and let's ask for that grace to desire to prayer. I always say, like, oh, Father, I'm too busy to pray. Oh, really? Did you eat today? If you can find time to eat, you can find time to pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of prayer. Help us to be men who love prayer, who long for prayer, who remember you more often than we draw breath. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's head on back over to the main gym. Thank you, gentlemen.